Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
Welcome back, y'all. We are back with Three Body Problem, episode 5, titled Judgment Day. And in fact, I think perhaps this might have sneakily been Judgment Day for the humans on Earth. It's definitely the best episode of the season so far. I texted Zach a mid-episode reaction as I was watching it. Yep. What was going through my mind the whole time I'm watching it is like, how is this not a finale episode of season 1? And what's going to happen in episodes 6, 7, and 8? Like, the fact that we get 3 more episodes after this
is wild.
It's crazy to me. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, to another degree.
This really did feel like a season ender for me too. Like watching it, like your reactions made so much sense. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I was waiting. I was just like, just wait, bro. Just wait. I was trying. And I hate when you do that to me, but I was like, I couldn't hold the reaction in. When I saw the nanofiber scene of how it sliced the ship in half, which I don't know what kind of psychological repercussions that's going to have for Augie. But they sliced up not only the people who were like part of the operation, like Felix and Evans and the adults in the room. They sliced up their kids too. So everybody on that ship is, I mean, this show's vicious. It goes from feeling like a show where nobody's going to die, where people have plot armor, to everybody getting sliced in half and 1,000 people dying on this ship, like in one shot.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that scene? Because that was, I mean, just jaw dropping watching. Like, I couldn't believe it while it was happening. And then the whole time I'm thinking to myself, don't you guys need the hard drives off this ship? You're slicing everything in half.
Yeah. Okay. So what if you slice the hard drive? That was my thought. Like the whole reason they went for this plan, because they were trying to find some non-invasive way to capture the intelligence here. But yeah. They just like guys, you cut a ship like probably not even to like 16ths. Like you sliced it into what, like 1/32nd? Like it's insane. Like it's just like pancakes, like some flapjacks made out of that ship. Like where could this one little hard drive have been hiding that you're lucky enough that you didn't cut it because it sat between like the 2 or 1 foot you have between each nanofiber like strand? Like that's crazy.
You saw where he took it. So yeah. Evans had it carrying here, which made me wonder, he knew what was going on when he saw the slicing happening, right? Maybe he didn't know about nanofibers, but I'm sure he does. He carried it in such a way that it wouldn't get sliced. And he says, "Forgive me, my lord," which made me wonder, did he do that to salvage the drive to get it to the other side? Maybe he had lost faith in a way. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking to himself, wait a minute, like, I'm getting killed here. And this seems like, you know, the aliens are letting me die. Let me get this info to the people so maybe we can stop them. Because even Wenji in this episode has kind of like a shaking of her faith when she hears the audio recording of Evans reading the story and explaining what a lie is to the Santee.
Yeah.
And the bug, the whole you are bugs thing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Zach, before you answer,
okay,
I'm impressed with how spot on all of our theories have been.
Oh my god! Yeah,
like to the point where when they get the VR headset later in the episode, and they say exactly what I literally said it last episode, the one before that, I think I said they're stopping them from getting technologically advanced to become a threat.
Yep.
And so the humans are going to be the threat to them if they continue. Now I wasn't expecting the twist that it took them longer to progress through the stages of civilization.
Me neither.
But yeah, by the time they get there in 400 years, they would be doomed, because if we go at the technological progression rate that we're going on, we'll be more advanced than the Santee by the time they arrive on the planet.
Yeah, which is impressive. And I'm really happy that I was correct about this quantum entanglement theory of communication. Like, yeah, that's what it was. That's what I said in the last episode.
About what exactly?
The quantum entanglement.
About the like, projection as well,
yeah.
of the... Although that's what you're talking about right now, the projection of the stars blinking and stuff?
Well, the projection of the stars blinking was very much, dude, that's literally freaking Chicken Little, like right there. Like, go watch Chicken Little. The sky, go watch the show. Like, it's a kid show, but whatever. Okay. But that's Chicken Little. But the other thing that I was saying in the last episode was, look, the science doesn't make sense. Like, you can't, if communication travels at the speed of light at its fastest point, like, it would take 400 years for, like, one message to go one way. Like, and these were, like, real-time conversations. So I was saying in the last episode, like, there had to have been some sort of, like, quantum entanglement or quantum something that would allow them to communicate. Like, these things, like, exist in two places at the same time. And, you know, like, that's how you're able to, like, have that conversation. So I'm happy.
Computer being in two places at the one time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I was right about that, too. But back to your I guess your theory on Mike Evans, I don't quite know that it was, you know, him now not believing. I interpreted that more as like, he clearly knew that they were under attack. I mean, when you see people falling into bits, from nothing, I'd be running too. I feel like he was running to go get the hard drive to protect the information for the Santee, but realized once there was no way out, like, he had failed. So it was more of just like him apologizing to the Santee because he failed, like, his purpose. He wasn't able to protect the drive or protect anything else. I didn't see that as like, let me secure this so that the humans can read this.
To me, it felt kind of purposeful that, you know, this is what the Santee wanted. They wanted that drive to get into the hands of whatever department Wade works for, which was one of the best moments in the episode when Raj looks at his ID and has this face of, like, you know, like, just absolute shock of who he is talking to. So he doesn't work for MI6. We don't know what organization he works for, but Raj has obviously heard of them to a degree. I think that'll probably be unveiled at some point, or maybe it'll just be an ongoing mystery, because there's nothing epic enough that could describe, I guess, where he works for in a sense, but who knows? To the point of protecting the information, I think DeSanti wanted that information to get into these people's hands. Now, to what degree, I have no idea. And it made me wonder almost why
do
it? I guess I kind of understand why they did what they did. I was wondering when, for example, they give him the drive and the drive is quantum encrypted. So the cryptographer tells Clarence, hey, this would take 3.8 trillion years to unencrypt this thing.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, it just opens, which obviously wasn't the doing of the cryptographer. So when it opens and they see the 100 petabyte file, which apparently, I've never even heard of that measurement of data, but that's a million gigabytes that's a million gigabytes per petabyte. So 100 of those. So 100 million gigabytes, which is 100,000 terabytes?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I get a little confused with, like, the petabytes, because you've got, like, what, petabytes, there's exabytes,
I see. I stop at terabytes.
Let's be real. The only people using petabytes right now is, like, Google and Apple. Like, yeah, they have petabytes of data stored. It's insane. But
is 100 petabytes enough for the world that exists within that VR headset? It doesn't feel like enough for me.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what all exists in there. Like, I could see that just being some sort of, like, AI like, progressively generated procedure or something like that. I don't really know. So I don't know that you would even need that much storage for that. It kind of felt like overkill. Like, I feel like there was, like, was that the entire intelligence of the Santee, like, stored inside of this one tiny device, or is it?
Well, the whole purpose, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, similar to the Little Red Riding Hood story, how the wolf tells Little Red Riding Hood it wants to eat her. The whole episode, by the way, mirrors Little Red Riding Hood in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're wearing a disguise in the game, so they don't look like the Santee, so to speak, right? They say all of this is for your benefit. Then, remember, she asked the question, or the hive mind. I'm assuming it's a hive mind, like a sentient AI
hive mind.
Asks the question to Evans in the previous episode. Why would the wolf tell his intent to Little Red Riding Hood if he intended to eat her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the alien takes the approach of the wolf in this episode by essentially the goal of that whole thing, the whole goal of the projection of the supercomputer doing a reflection of the Earth back at it, like a mirrored reality back at the Earth, and the eyeball in the sky looking at it, was to instill fear.
Yeah.
And so they said, we will make you fear again. And so that was the purpose of it. And the supercomputers that they developed is the answer to why the experiments were going wrong in episode one. So much was answered in this episode. I mean, I could keep on going on from to the fact that the VR headset wasn't Vera's. It was Wenji's. So
yeah.
Why did Vera kill herself? You get me? If she didn't have the countdown, why did she kill herself? Maybe she did have the countdown and you don't need the headset. Actually, no, you don't need the headset.
You don't need the headset countdown. Because the computers are everywhere. They're surrounding the planet, which is insane.
Then did they allow Augie to not have the countdown kick off again?
Yeah, that was the point. So Clarence had said, because Augie asked Clarence, like, why didn't the countdown come back? And Clarence responds to something to the effect of, I guess the Lord stopped protecting the flock, right? Like, that's why.
That can't be the answer. That, to me, it seems like...
Why?
I mean, yes, they stopped protecting the people on the ship, right? They were pretty literal on the terms of, like, hey, we can't associate with liars.
Yeah.
So now... they're taking the approach that you're right, by the way, that conversation with Evans ended up being absolutely like the whole world hinged on it because now they're referring to humans as pests, as bugs, which, by the way, Zach, you wanted your world global reaction.
Yeah.
If they don't react to the entire world being reflected back at them in the next episode, I don't even know how you can explain that, because now I'm assuming there's gonna have to be a news segment or Wade's gonna have to become like the most famous person on the world and say there are aliens, they're 400 years away.
You've got to address it.
And why is Wade not gonna get a countdown? How is Wade not gonna get a countdown after this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess Wade isn't a scientific threat. Like, the Santee are scared of science and the fact that, you know, humans have it's the hockey stick, right? Like, we had grown, you know, exponentially, I guess, relative to them because they constantly had setbacks, which I'm very interested in. Like, what must these things be in order to have those many setbacks occur and not be completely annihilated, right? Like, how invincible must they be? Like, I'm assuming they would have had to have survived extreme cold, had to have survived extreme, like, heat, where, like, you're basically melting in lava and floating into space. Like, I cannot believe that they built all of this between, you know, two unstable eras, because, like, that's just, like, nobody even knows how much time that is. So, they've got to be really powerful. I just don't know, like, how or like what, like, can you even destroy these things? I don't know.
Well, I think we obviously can. It just seems that they need to, the solution now is they need science to continue to advance, like, rapidly, right? And so these nanofibers, which I spoke about earlier in the season, is a scientific advancement that could lead. They're like playing the game of Civ, bro. Have you ever played the game Civ?
No. Oh, wait, you've told me about that civilization thing.
Sid Meier's Civilization. So in the game, you have a choice of which direction you want to take. There's multiple paths towards victory. You don't have to have victory through conquest, through military conquest. Mm-hmm. You could have a cultural victory. You could have a scientific victory. You could have, I don't know, there's multiple versions of victories, but they come along a skill tree. So you can't advance past a certain skill tree before you develop a certain technology to get to that skill tree.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole little dialogue that the Santee has with Wade and Jin inside the headset is pretty much saying, like, you guys have advanced to these series of civilizations and we are more advanced than you at this point. But at the degree that it will take us to get to your, at the length it'll take us to get to your planet, you'll be more advanced than us. So we're going to cut off that skill tree before you can get to that next progression of what we are. Right?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's multiple issues with that statement. Not just the fact that you can defeat the Santee, and I'd have to rewatch the episode to get this, or maybe you can fast forward to the part of where she's talking to him. But Jin says something along the lines of, like, all of our catastrophes have been man-made or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were also insinuating that mankind advancing so fast is also a threat to themselves and their own destruction, and therefore we're doomed anyways. Like, both, whichever way you cut it, we're doomed. Either they kill themselves or they kill us, like right in the atmosphere, they shoot us down, because they can't be progressing any further at this point. You think about it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they are progressing. They've halted progression if everybody on the planet's on this ship. However, they also mention the fact that you'll destroy us, then you'll find our planet and destroy our planet. So that means that there's not only the fleet coming their way, there's also people back on their planet.
Well, Santi, let's not call them people.
True.
Because they clearly don't look like us. They've stated that multiple times so far.
They said you would not like it.
Yeah, which makes me want to know what they look like. I was expecting to get some sort of reveal, even if it was just like a facial reaction from Wade and Jin. But that didn't happen. You know, I do think that we got another answer though in this episode, which was, what was the purpose of the game? It was a recruiting tool, but I feel like it was a recruiting tool to lead pigs to their slaughter, right? Like, they wanted to kill the science. Like, I don't think they were planning to utilize these scientists for their own benefit. Like, I don't think this was, hey, let's be nice to these things, that these beings that are coming. I feel like what they were trying to do,
they want to target their biggest threats.
Yeah, I think what they were trying to do is it was a test, and. I think the test was if you were intelligent enough to learn the true meaning of what's happening, then you were a threat, and therefore, like, you would have been assassinated, which is probably why the Santee didn't protect the quote unquote flock. At least that's my current theory at this point, because I can't see another reason for having these scientists on their side. Like, again, they're just scientists. Well, they're not politicians.
To me, it's that they switched up their approach. They went from wanting to coordinate with the humans there, or at least their select few, to not trusting them after realizing that they could be
lying.
Little Red Riding Hood. So they decided to be the wolf in the equation. But Wenji, I don't know if that lines up, Zach, because Wenji mentions that she recruited Jin because she could be the greatest physicist of her generation. So it seems to me that at least up until this point, the goal was to recruit the scientists to help in, I guess, ushering in the Santee.
I don't know. I mean, Wenji could also not be fully aware of the ultimate intentions. I mean, lying is one thing, but withholding the truth is kind of seems like another. You know, like, Wenji, when she initially made contact again with this pacifist, the whole thing was that, hey, don't talk to us. Like, that's the worst thing that could happen, which again is kind of confusing. Like, I really want to understand that a little bit more and understand how that even transpired, or what, I guess, what events came after that led us to where we are now. But I think it's possible that she just doesn't know what the Santee were really looking to do, like, coming to this planet. Maybe they were planning to go habitate with us, but
it's changed now.
Definitely not the case now.
They've made it clear that it's changed now, to the point where, by the way, just to speak on Wenji a little bit, but remind me to talk about the bugs thing, because I think it's very intentional that it even popped up on Wenji's screen.
Mm-hmm.
She lied about the VR headset being Vera's.
Yeah.
She said Vera wasn't strong enough to handle the truth. I think it's pretty clear that these people aren't killing themselves. The scientists who killed themselves did not kill themselves. They were murdered.
100%.
Either by Tatiana or other enforcers around the world. So that makes me believe that the countdown isn't ultimately going to kill them. They don't have that power to be able to kill people, like, in their minds. I don't think they have that ability. They might. I could be completely wrong. But I think they need somebody to physically go and kill them. What they can do is cloak somebody with their supercomputer, which we saw, because that computer literally cloaked the entire planet on the outside, if you noticed that, which is interesting.
Which also explains, I think, some of the reasons why Tatiana doesn't show up on camera a lot of the times. Like the Earth is surrounded by a supercomputer. Like it's just hacking everything.
And almost an omnipresent, I guess an omnipresent.
It's everywhere. Computer. It sees everything all at once. It has the entire world surrounded. It hears everything. It sees everything. And it's in real time. Like, the Santee can hear everything and see everything, which makes me wonder, if there's going to be some sort of pivot in maybe tactics here with that supercomputer, right? Like,
it goes on the offensive.
Well, not the supercomputer going on the offensive itself, but I mean, look, if these things are quantumly entangled, the fact that the Santee can see and hear everything on Earth, this goes both ways, right? It's the same device. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we end up seeing and experiencing and communicating with the Santee at like a much larger scale. So I could see that happening soon.
I wanted to mention something, and there's so many thoughts going through my head, and it's so hard to keep track of all of them at once. Because I think these podcast episodes are more fun when we don't just do like a recap, but we bounce around and kind of talk about it in totality. I wanted to talk about, I'm sure it'll come back to me, but we can keep it moving here. Wade recruits Raj into his little team. So Raj is now working with the, what we call the good guys. But when you watch this Panama Canal thing and you're seeing the innocents getting murdered, you feel almost like, who are the bad guys here now? You know, you almost feel like that, but it's because, and I'm going to finish because I don't believe that. I know you're about to jump on me there. It feels that way because it's an atrocity. An atrocity is an atrocity. So when you see a murder, especially when you see this kid's leg getting chopped off, you know, type of thing, like a murder is a murder, right? But at the end of the day, they're at war. And you also have to think about this. The parents, and by the way, this is like philosophical almost. The parents have put their children at risk by putting them on the ship because they're enemies to humanity. At the end of the day, these people are trying to usher in alien terrorists who are going to hijack the world in a sense. So,
yeah. And that's why I took issue with you calling them all innocents. I do believe that like that the children are
the kids are innocent.
Yeah, I agree.
The kids are innocent, but they're paying the consequences of what their parents did.
Yeah.
And that's just that is unfortunately a reality of war. And do you think Augie? I mean, Will calls Raj chaos.
Yeah.
There could be a point where this story turns where the humans do become annihilators in a sense. Where we, I don't know. I feel like you got the sense in this episode that you could see a turn in this story eventually, where you question whether maybe Wade and Raj have gone to the dark side and they're doing too much now, you know, because one thing is protecting yourself. Another thing is like taking it to another level. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this story is pushing in that direction now.
I don't know. I feel like we had like a similar debate in like some of our other shows, like, I don't know, Godzilla or something, or like, this isn't a small threat and you're just like over, responding like you didn't just punch a little too hard. Like this is like some world domination shit. You have aliens coming to you from another planet that have technology that's centuries more advanced than ours is today. Like I don't think anything's off the table, honestly, at this point. Like if you fail, and you, first of all, you have no idea what's going to work. But if you fail, you're all doomed anyways.
Did you like the subtext of the first scene with Wade and Raj? Because if you rewatch that scene a couple times, what you realize is not only is he talking to Raj here, this is Wade's test almost, like his final test for Raj as to whether he's the guy to lead this. Mm-hmm. Every question seems intentional and every response is measured from Wade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his first thing is, what do you think about this ship? So to me, he's trying to test, in my opinion, is this guy like a sheep? Does he just repeat everything that he hears his CEO saying, or does he think for himself? And then secondly, he wants to see what kind of backbone this guy has, right?
Yeah.
So he calls him all sorts of names pretty much and insinuates like Navy members are idiots and all sorts of things like that. So he says, if you're an idiot, you'll ask me for my ID. And so he still asks for the ID, essentially saying something else about Raj, like, which he doesn't give a shit about what you think of him. He's going to do what he wants to do. And then thirdly, he respects the office, right?
Yeah.
Where he says, he calls him officially by his name, not by his first name or anything like that. And then he shares his own opinion about that this ship is a waste of money. I would have spent the £1 billion on 1,000 aerial drones, which Wade seems to be a passing answer for Wade. And then the final answer, which is, why did you choose to serve? And then Wade, you know, that's where it kind of lights him up to go and save the world instead of just his country.
Yeah. Which, by the way, like, that scene had one of my favorite lines of the episode in it. It was, I mean, I'll cover that one now just because we're talking about it, but it was Wade's response of saying, well, what I need you for is way more important. Yeah. More than saving, like, more than saving, like, people, says, protecting the country.
You think I'm going to, you think I'm out here in Govan to talk to you? You talk to I'm the busiest man, you know, talking, spending a few hours of my time talking to you, Wade is great. He steals this episode 100%. Like, the entire episode, he steals it.
Oh, yeah. This was his episode, I think. Like, he had such a big role in this episode. And for the busiest man on earth, man, he has the nicest damn office I've seen with nothing in it. Like, I love it. Like, I wish my office could be like that, you know, clean, but at the same time be usable. Like, it almost feels like useless, honestly, when you look at it. But I guess it's productive. All he needs to do is sit there and think and talk to people on the phone.
It feels like a lot of the driving force of this episode, like, thematically, was the idea that whatever civilization has the technological advantage is the one that wins. He mentions the whole discussion with Clarence about the Mongolian stirrups and how they had the iron stirrups before anybody else did, and so they were able to wreak havoc because of their horseback warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And that lent itself towards the nanofiber technology going on there and the technology that the aliens have. So it's kind of like you see the Mongolian stirrups, and then you also see the nanofibers versus the Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the supercomputer versus Earth, pretty much.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we said it was outlandish on in episode one or two, what Saul's explanation was.
One. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It turns out Saul was right. So his initial thing about this being a projection was right from the beginning, and I'm still waiting, and it feels inevitable, that Will and Saul are going to be mobilized and become major forces at a certain point. But up till now, they're smoking pot in a cottage by the sea.
Watching sea turtles on the TV.
Yeah, watching sea turtles on the TV, which, by the way, is probably the best place to be when the world is, you know, flipping out. But although they probably just thought they were super high.
Well, you know, if the world were flipping out, but I mean, come on. Everybody is just like chill as shit in this show. So, stars freaking blinked. Yeah, whatever. All at once. That's nothing. Oh, look. There's a mirror above us. Cool. That's been the only reaction to all of this stuff. I need to see like some widespread panic or something. Like,
Will is determined not to seek any additional health treatments or any cutting edge stuff. Even though we haven't talked about it, but Jack left half his estate. Mm-hmm. To Will. So I'm really curious to see what happens with this character and when all these friends are going to come together. Because so far, now Augie and Jin are roped in working for the government pretty much. I'm assuming the rest are going to get roped in here too with some sort of common purpose. Because Saul is definitely the smartest of the bunch, it seems, in his own way. And we found out at the end with the... Did you notice the quantum computer when it showed we started, we put one computer here on Earth and one of them is back with us, or they have two computers here and two are back with them or something like that.
Yeah, two twins, yeah.
They sent one of them to the accelerator, the particle accelerator, and that was the building. I thought it was the Apple HQ in California, but no, it was the particle accelerator. And did you notice the way it was destroying their results was almost like the Israeli Iron Dome?
Yeah,
or like, you ever seen like when missiles fly in there and it's just like it'll shoot one off and intercept the missile in midair?
Yeah,
that's identical to how this thing looked on the little scans and the readings. So I'm still curious though. I think Vera killed herself for a more serious reason, or maybe she was pushed. Maybe she was killed herself because she found something out. I'm still not 100% sure whether the Santee have the capability of making somebody kill themselves after the countdown, or whether it's just an enforcer who comes in and does it.
I
think it's the latter.
I do think there is an enforcer. I want to take back what I said about always thinking it was like an enforcer or something though, because that one suicide that we saw, I actually do think was a suicide with, remember the guy, I think it was episode one, he had like cut out his own eyeballs out? Wrote the countdown that he was seeing on the wall. Like, that felt very much like a suicide. Like, it drove him insane.
Maybe half were.
Right? Like, I can definitely see this countdown driving people insane. And we saw how much it impacted Augie. I mean, like, she, like, went from, like, one of the most successful scientists of our time to, like, just, I'm not going to work. Like, go check in a mental ward or something. So it's very possible that some of these were suicides, but yeah, Vera, I'm not quite sure. I mean, right before she killed herself, she was questioning, she's like, do you believe in God? And I don't know that she was even talking about, like, the Lord that Mike and
I don't think so.
Wenji speak to. I just think it was, I don't know. I don't know what she was really referencing there. Do you think we're ever going to find out, or is this going to be a mystery?
No, I think we'll find out eventually. I think there's more to Vera's story than they've let on. Vera's the one who recruited these people anyways. Mm. She's the one who recruited these students. So we're going to find out, I think, a little more. Were you surprised Wade put on the headset?
No.
Because I was. I thought it was a little bit too risky of a move for someone of his position.
I didn't really think it was, like, surprising. Maybe it was just because of the way that it, like, built up to it or something like that. I don't think that these devices are just, like, I don't know, gonna kill you or something like that. I don't even think that they're implanting it. Clearly, I don't think the devices are implanting anything into people's brains. It's really just like a virtual reality headset or something to that effect that scans your biometrics. I also think that the potential of understanding what the enemy is really wanting to show you when you realize, like, how really powerful they are is probably too tempting to not put it on and take a look at it. So I didn't find it very surprising.
It also felt very much like a leader who needs to, if he's asking someone else to take a risk, he also has to take the risk.
Yeah.
Feels inevitable that, like, the way this show is going to go is that there has to be some sort of technological weapon that these people come up with that becomes the ultimate thing that they're working towards, I'm assuming. Like, that they discover something in science that they feel like could be the thing that stops the Santee.
Mm.
I'm assuming that's where this ends up going at a certain point. I feel like Saul's the guy who comes up with this, if I had to guess. Because everybody here has a respective specialty that matters, right? Jin understands higher...
dimensions.
Higher dimensions. Augie is like a beast at developing ridiculous weapons, apparently. and that could probably have other uses aside from slicing people in half.
But mainly slicing people in half.
It's like in quarters.
Yeah.
Is there nothing is there anything that the nanofibers can't cut through? That's pretty insane.
I don't think
cut through a damn warship.
I don't know how the nanofibers work, all right? I'm not a scientist or anything of the sort.
Are you kidding me right now?
There's my disclaimer. No, I mean, I may have been writing some theories here, but my assumption is that the nanofibers are maybe they're so thin that they're, like, able to cut through matter. Just like, you know, like at the very, very small level. So it's able to kind of, like, pass through anything. That's kind of what I was thinking. But I was also wondering, like, if it can cut through all of that, if it could just slice through steel like it was warm butter, probably easier than that. Like, how did they all touch this stuff? Like, how do you even pick it up and not lose your fingers? How do you attach it to metal? And not
just
it cut the metal.
Like, how does it not cut straight through the metal?
Yeah, so like there's some, like, it's cool. Plot, it's interesting. Holes. Yeah, I would say that's probably a plow. Like, I mean, you can't pick that crap up. Like, it'd be like picking up a rope. Hey, you grab that and I'll grab this one. Tie it to the pole. Oh my hands are missing.
Off. Yeah, my hands done.
Yeah, like, so there's a couple things like that in this episode that I'm still kind of questioning. I'm like, like, I did like that we got a lot of the explanation for the things I was saying in the last episode. It didn't make sense.
You can't anchor the fibers to anything.
No, like, how are you going to anchor it? It's like, I mean, it'll cut through anything is what it seems like. But the other thing that I'm a little confused about is these supercomputers that are now quantum entangled, and one was sent to Earth and the other one is with them.
They're sentient, by the way.
Yes. But the question I have, because I don't feel like I got clarity on it, is how did it get to Earth months ago? How did it get to Earth so much quicker? Because if the whole concept is like,
I think it took years.
But 400 years? No.
Oh, true.
Right. So that so my point is, if we're talking about like, oh, we were able to fold space and time and dimensions and this and that, and that's how we created
the device. Faster?
Like, yeah, why can't you travel faster? Why can you not just fold time and do some like interstellar jump or something like that, and you know, just appear right next to us, right? Like I'm a little lost.
It's hard to believe that they've developed all this technology, but they can't travel faster than the speed of light in space.
Yeah, like that. It's too limiting. If you can send something to Earth faster than the speed of light, you should be able to send yourself to Earth faster than the speed of light.
I feel like someone in the audience has the answer to that question, and they can email us at contact@soapbox.house with clarity on that. I was kind of taking the other route when I watched this episode. I know there was maybe plot holes here and there, but I was taking the other route. Like, the mind of the author behind this series to develop this is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And I'm wondering if they did have some sort of physicist training.
I would assume that, or like had a consultant or something like that. And I'm not calling these things out to be like, oh, this show sucks, it's taking me out of the show. No, like, it's a great show. But those are some things I've got questions on. I'm like, I'm very curious. And who knows? We might get to the next episode and they explain it. Like, they explained a lot in this episode about what we were questioning at the previous one. So anything's possible.
I did say at the beginning of this, I don't know how there's three episodes left in the season, but we're gonna find out how. I got to turn off these effects on my thing. I keep on getting the thumbs up animation. But anyways, I don't know what else to cover on this one. Do you want to take it to categories? Or do you have any closing thoughts here?
I think we can take it to categories. Like, I don't know what else I would really cover from this episode. Like, I guess the only question I would have, though, is like, what was the benefit other than for ourselves, the audience, of this Santee
explaining
to Jin and Wade basically their plans? Like, they just like, and here it is, like, okay, James Bond villain, thank you for that.
I wondered the same thing.
Yeah,
I wondered the same thing, but I also wondered if the whole purpose was just to make them fear
it's possible
their capabilities,
right?
And like, I feel like
discourage them.
That's, yeah, and I also think that although they're super sophisticated, they don't understand the concept of a lie in their society.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I have a feeling is more of like a robot thing and less a actual like normal organic being thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they might have taken Little Red Riding Hood a little too literally. And so they actually just disclosed their entire plan because they felt that that was something. So maybe that conversation, although sort of screwed over humanity, also benefited them. Also, is everybody gonna die because this computer is cloaking the Earth in such a way that the sun and the moon light is not getting through? Like, what is gonna occur here?
That's interesting
with that
too. Yeah, I mean, it's literally
the water thing rise. Well, they can't destroy the Earth. They want to take it over. So
yeah, they do. They do.
And so that means there has to be organic beings, right? In some sense, on this ship as well, Yeah, that these aren't necessarily AIs.
No, I don't think Santee are, you know, sentient AI or anything like that. Santee. Huh.
Yeah, you got to be
interesting.
Think it.
No. But I was just drawing a comparison to sentient AI and Santee.
Oh, okay.
Like, is it a nickname for sentient?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It might be.
I do think that they're organic of some sort, but clearly I think that they can survive a lot of extreme conditions. So,
well, it seems the three body problem is a literal thing for their planet.
Yeah.
That they have to start over at every catastrophe, which is why it took them so long to advance through civilization. Now, I think we're going to get a change of pace here. We can talk about now what we think is going to happen on the next episode, since we've been so right on these segments in previous episodes. I think Wenji's going to be a converted, she's going to have this was her Damascus moment, because you are a bug that popped up on her screen. If this thing is omnipresent in a sense, then that means that that message was also for her, which means that all of her work, all of her high hopes of this being an incredible thing, that these aliens are going to come and make the world a better place and solve the issues that humans couldn't. It's all going to go out the window. So she's going to have her Damascus moment, and or she might have already had it, where I think now she's probably going to work in conjunction with Wade and Clarence and try to defeat the Santee. I don't think that she's staying a disciple.
I don't think she has an option.
yeah.
I do think you're right. Like, I think she's going to convert to what we have been calling the good side, which is Wade. There's only one side now. It's us versus them. There's not this cult faction that Mike is running anymore.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that happening. Outside of that, I mean, where do we go from here, though? Like, I mean, like, I feel like the people know enough of the mystery to have a sense of what's going on. I mean, to put it simply, there is an alien race coming to our planet to take over our planet because they cannot live with us.
And kill you.
So, yeah, they're going to kill us. So, I mean, where do we go? Like, this feels like a very...
Worldwide hysteria.
Worldwide hysteria. It feels like we're going to, like, you know, thought dump COVID every penny. Yeah, really. Thought COVID was bad. Like, we're going to dump every penny we have in the world into science and, you know, trying to create weapons and things like
you
that.
You know, it is crazy, Zach. If any generation... Well, I'm not going to say we are unique amongst all generations, but not many generations got to experience a worldwide pandemic in unison where pretty much the entire world was shut down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Or not a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it felt like a year.
It was a while.
So we can kind of relate to a situation that brings the entire world having to work together in some sense, where you had... you know, the federal government sending ships of respirators and stuff to places. Like, we've seen what that looks like and what that feels like. I don't feel like there was a sense of unity in that when that was going on. Maybe it was for a brief moment, but we can kind of put it, like, we can easily picture what this might look like because we have all lived through this. Hopefully you lived through it. You know, but this is something that, you know, it's not foreign, like literally 3 years ago or 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, you know, events that from one day to the next just alter everything. I'm really curious to see how do they portray that on screen in the next three episodes or on the ongoing basis. Because now, overnight, the aliens have let everybody know their plan, which I think strategically stupid. But nonetheless, we're going to see how the world responds, which I'm assuming is going to be just mass hysteria. For the foreseeable future, maybe military states pop up left and right because people are like, we're all gonna die, so you know, go crazy.
Very likely. But I do think we are going to see the group really come together, and they're going to come together to science the shit out of everything. I think that's really what's about to happen here. We have to have some sort of technological advancement. I can't see another like reconnaissance mission sort of episode. Like, it's just,
this is Oppenheimer on crack.
Yeah.
You know, this is like Race Against Hitler for the nuclear arms, right? But race of 400 years or to advance enough as a civilization.
Though? That's my big question.
They're lying about that?
Well, not lying. No, I'm wondering, did the Santee ever say explicitly that they would be here in 400 years? Or did they simply say, we are blank number of light years away, and therefore humans calculated 400 years? Maybe that's false.
They confirmed it.
Maybe they... I at some point in the show, I just feel like we're going to have some like insane time jump. Or the Santee are going to just start appearing sooner rather than later. Like, we've got to end, at least I think, season one with there being some imminent threat. I mean, like it's about to happen.
Well,
and 400 years off into the future is just not enough of an imminent threat for everybody.
Well, what's to stop the Santee from starting a civil war down here? You're saying, hey, if we're going to recruit you, if you fight for us, you'll live. Some shit like that. I don't know. But my point was, they did confirm the 400 years, not through explicitly saying it, but Or maybe they did and I forgot that scene, but they also confirmed it in this moment that Wade and Jin have inside of the Sofon or the final theme where they say you're 400 years away and they don't deny it. They essentially confirm it by their answer and say, yes, hence we're doomed because it's going to take too long for us to get there before you guys freaking wipe us out with whatever technology they know is more advanced than them, you know? So they obviously know what level they're at in society and civilization.
Yeah.
And they know that there's a point that these humans can't get to. So,
All right. Well, that's all I've got. That's all the questions.
Then let's jump to the category. I won't be able to wait a week to watch episode 6. So,
yeah.
We got to record getting during too crazy. The week.
We're going to have to do a Monday recording or something.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite character of the episode?
Wade. It's easy.
Right, he does take the cake on it. Favorite scene? I mean, I think we're going to be pretty aligned on that one too.
So I think we might have different ones, but mine is when they put on the visor and the whole world gets like the reflection back to it. That was mine. Like that whole sequence.
You would pick the one that's not an atrocity. Mine's the atrocity.
Yours is the Judgment Day atrocity.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's huge for, you know, humanity and, you know, for Mike Evans.
Three body problem. In any normal show, that is the episode, that is the scene that is the most memorable, the one that you'll always remember. But for this show, in the same episode, they outdo themselves by introducing these two super quantum sentient computers that pretty much answer every question we've had from episodes 1 through 5 at this point. So, yeah, that's why it takes the cake for me. Why was Raj up there, by the way, already? He was on the sea. He was on the roof.
What do you mean?
Raj was not with Jin.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? And this guy. But he was on the roof already.
Yeah, he was on the roof. So, I don't know. I mean, just looking.
Are we going to get an Augie, Jin, Raj love triangle?
I don't. Anything's possible. I don't know. Like I don't know that we have time for a love triangle anymore in this show.
They got 400 years. What are you talking about?
Do they though? I don't know.
Augie and Raj share trauma now, bro. They have shared trauma. They have committed an insane atrocity, a war crime, in a sense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, the next
and one could argue there was more efficient ways of getting that drive in one piece.
I do think so. Like
then slicing it in four.
And Clarence's.
What could argue?
Oh yeah. Well, Clarence's and Wade's conversation when Clarence was throwing out ideas and like, here's how we could get it. And he's like throwing out all of these bad ideas and they don't want to send like a spec ops team on board because like that's going to be a bloodbath. What the fuck do you think happened, guys? Yeah. That was a fucking bloodbath. Like, are you kidding me?
That's a great point.
Oh, I
think,
my God.
I'll be honest. I think a spec operation is probably...
That would have been way better. I would have rather have seen... Well, I don't know that I'd rather have seen that because this was pretty interesting, but I feel like it probably would have been more... Maybe not effective, but... A safer
maybe SEALs are pretty damn good. I mean, I feel like you send those guys at night.
I mean, I didn't see anybody on there.
The Lord
with
already wasn't protecting these people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like the cloak was off of them.
But
so.
on top of that, Mario, like who was the armed guards on the ship? There are none because they don't feel like they need protection. Nobody has weapons.
They could have done more surveillance on the ship probably when it was passing through the canal. Because the canal, as I understand it, when you make an appointment for the Panama Canal, you have to be there for like a day or something like that. They could have done a bunch of reconnaissance in that moment. And yeah, then you could have stopped the ship and you jump in there and you get to Evans really quick. The moment you have a visual on Evans, you pretty much go in. That's pretty much the moment that it happens.
Yeah.
You brought up the point about what Clarence said. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They were trying to stop a bloodbath. Wade was not trying to stop a bloodbath.
No.
He was not. Wade was of the mind of like, you guys are enemies of the world and therefore all of you die.
Yeah.
He gives that explanation to Augie of like, you know how many people died building the Panama Canal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5 and 20,000. You know, you're worried about 1,000. Yeah. A lot of kids on that damn boat, bro.
Yeah. So you wouldn't have protected the world. You'd let us all die. So you're the kind of person to run over the 10 people on the train tracks?
Well, no, I don't think that's fair. I think that we both... I just don't know if 4 nanofibers slicing through everybody is the move. And it seems... it seems so obvious to me that you could have gone like dead of night. Because remember, these people are religious zealots. They're cult members.
And families, right? With no weapons that we're aware of.
Yeah, that we're aware of. And I feel like that we have good enough technology that they could parse out what the threats would be on the ship. Right?
Yeah.
It seems like the nanofiber thing is like a last resort. It's not like the first option.
Yeah.
First and foremost, they didn't know if it was going to work. So how is something that you don't know is going to work your first option?
I mean, it's kind of like when you're backed into a corner, you try and do whatever you think you need to do. But anyways, last category for this one. And then I want to go watch episode 6. I already went over my favorite line. My favorite line was Wade saying, you know, what I need you for is way more important than, you know, basically just protecting the country. What was your favorite line of the episode?
That was your favorite line?
I liked it. It was good. Stuck with me.
I had some, and I didn't write them down this episode for some reason. I did not write them down. So I may have to be I liked Clarence's story to Augie, which is, what's your skill set? He says, "Oh, I was a lead detective on a murder case. Mexican bloke pushed his wife off the cliff." It took me 5 seconds to realize it was a joke. He says, "You know the culprit was? What was behind it? Tequila."
It was a good one. That one made me chuckle too. All right. Well, that's all she wrote. I think everybody has it pretty bad at this point.
I actually, you know what the line probably should be is, "You are bugs." That should probably be that should have been the title. That should have been the title of the episode.
You know, I also think that I think the show is boding well for our bets in my favor. Because
what were our bets? Well,
we've only made one thus far, which is insane. We've been right on a lot of our predictions. But the bet was, you said that Will would be the first person we know of to defy the countdown.
Technically, Augie didn't defy the countdown. Technically, she didn't defy the countdown because it didn't pop up on screen. It didn't pop up on screen, therefore the countdown didn't end.
That is some bullshit.
No, it's not. To defy the countdown is to have it visually counting down.
If I told you, in front of you, if I had held a gun to your head and then told you, if you do something, I will shoot you in the head, and then I walk away and you go and do that thing, you are defying me.
You didn't know. No, that's not. You are. That's unequivocated. That is not equivocal.
I'm gonna phone a friend on this one. I'm gonna call in the audience to send in what they think.
Technically, to defy the countdown is to see the countdown and to defy the countdown. The countdown never popped up. Therefore, it's still open. And by the way, I don't think I'm gonna win that regardless. But I don't think you're gonna win it. To defy the countdown, you literally have to see it counting down. She literally asked Clarence, "Why didn't the numbers pop up?" So therefore, Zach, she didn't defy the countdown.
But she believed
she did. I get it. In a way, she did, but she didn't because the countdown never reappeared.
All right. All right. Well, I'm curious to see what everybody listening thinks on that one.
I'm
fine with whatever, because I think my bet's still pretty safe on that one. I just said no, like Will would not be the first person to defy the countdown. But
I should have put a bet, because you weren't really agreeing with me that the aliens' strategy was to stop technological advancement. You never really gave me an affirmative on that theory, like a verbal affirmative. So I really should have bet that like 2 or 3 episodes ago.
I don't know that I would have took the counter on that though, because it does seem, well, I mean, now it's like duh, of course.
Yeah.
But it did kind of seem like there was a moment earlier in the show where, hey, it could have been, help us enter your world safely and without you being a threat to us.
Yeah.
All right. You wanna close us out? You've been killing it with these outros, man. So,
you know,
you want to take this
after years of
listening to me doing mine,
listening you do your outros. I've found a way, like the Santee. I like the humans. I've advanced further than the Santee in the outro.
Are you calling me the alien enemy here?
Yeah, I am.
Wow. All
of right. The two of us, who's more likely? Let's be honest. Who's more likely?
All right, take it away.
What was something you said last episode that I questioned your allegiance to mankind?
Oh.
I questioned it for a moment. I looked at the camera for help.
No, you were like wondering, because I said like I think I'm on the side of Wade, but like I wasn't really debating it.
Was it Wade? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. You said I think I'm on the side of Wade.
Yeah, but I wasn't like really questioning it. I was just kind of like, look, even in spite of all of the bad things that clearly he does, I'm still on his side.
Yeah, me too. All right, thank you all for listening. We hope you're enjoying our coverage of Three Body Problem. Currently, the only series we're covering at this moment. But we're looking into some more coming up, but we'll have two more episodes coming soon, episodes 6 and 7. Let us know what you think of the show and let us know what you think of the podcast so far. As always, make sure to like the pod, review it on Apple Podcasts. You can actually write a review on Spotify. You can simply rate us 5 stars. And YouTube, you got to like the video and make sure to subscribe. We're trying to hit 1,000 subs on YouTube and we're about halfway there. So if you can help us get there, if you're not even a YouTube user and you want to just help us get to that 1,000 mark, we got enough listeners out there to do it. So if you guys all mobilize together, it'd be great. We're also have been playing with the idea of doing some interviews on the show with production professionals. So if there's any shows in particular, maybe shows that we've already covered that you'd want us to speak to specific people from the show, write us in at contact@soapbox.house, also with your thoughts and your theories of the episode. If you haven't watched The Head, if you're one of those people who likes trolling and putting fake theories out there that you've already watched come to fruition, like we so encountered firsthand when we covered Silo, then no, do not do that. But anyways, let us know if there's anybody you want us to interview, and then we can hunt them down with our super sentient computer on IMDb Pro, and we can actually give you guys those emails to help us bombard those people via email to join the show on an interview. So, anyways, all right, thanks for tuning in, y'all. Have a great weekend. Don't we have a holiday coming up or something like that?
Do we? I don't know. I don't think I have.
Mother's Day's coming up, no?
Is it? I'm so bad with holidays. So bad.
No, we got... When is Mother's Day? Oh, it's the 12th. All right, we're pretty early on. Next one up is Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, yeah. And Orthodox Easter.
Orthodox Easter.
That's what it says on my calendar.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, happy Orthodox Easter. Out there, but anyways, all right, y'all have a great weekend, and till next time,
you are bugs. I'm just kidding, we love you.
Until next time, avoiding any micro nanofibers.
Yeah, for real. All right, peace.